I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of The Memo for this Thursday, October 20th. I'm Brad Locke, joined by M. Scott Morris. Whoa, what's going on?
I got a text. And you know, you can tell how old I am because when I got a text, I called back.
You made a phone call? Who does that anymore?
And I was like, why is he calling me? Does he not have text on his phone?
I was driving.
Driving, trying to be safe and whatnot.
I actually prefer phone calls. I don't mind saying it. And the rest of you people can just love your texting. I've never really liked texting.
See, I've never liked talking on the phone. So when texting became a thing, it just made me so happy. I wish I could have had that when I was younger.
Like, not long after I met my wife, we had, like, about an hour and a half long phone call. And it's like, hey, we should continue this. This is a relationship that you continue.
My wife and I talked a lot on the phone because we lived, like, several hours apart and we were dating. But, you know, that's different. That's someone you actually like.
And it's true. It was Chris we're talking about. Speaking of Chris, he gets kind of uppity today. Did you hear about that?
No, what happened?
Well, I don't know. I mean, apparently somebody was running late. Somebody was on time. Somebody else was running late.
Me.
Okay. And then Chris gets kind of up, and he steps up and does an interview today.
Yeah, he did. Derek Russell is not here to host, although he does make a brief appearance to talk about the scene section. And so Chris will talk to him about that.
What do y'all do to get him back into his producing hole after he kind of starts trying to get more airtime? Do y'all have any kind of procedures?
Keep me in my place.
Yeah, to keep him in his place.
You know, we just, we can't really tell you what we do. Might get fired.
Okay. He would edit it out anyway.
Yesterday, Derek kept rubbing in the way the baseball season ended. So, maybe there's that.
But the Cubs won last night.
Yes, I almost sent you a text, but the game wasn't quite over and I didn't want to jinx it. But after we were talking about sad fans and my hatred of the Dodgers, I was going to send something along the lines of sad fans plus Dodgers equals whatever, happy face
happy,
or perfect.
Happy Chris.
Exclamation mark. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes for a happy Chris. Right. So, yeah, so the series will now go back to Chicago at the very least. So, anyway, Scott's going to co-host with me today. Scott, you think you've lost some weight, buddy?
Oh, man, yeah. Thank you for noticing.
I did notice. I didn't notice until today, but I noticed.
Yeah. So I was videoed for a thing by Adam Robinson. It was Bentley Burns, the magician. Uh-huh. And he did a really fantastic card trick.
Yeah.
And I looked at that video, and I'm not going to say exactly what I said, but, man, I looked pretty big there. And that was like, it was like just, and that's, you can look at that now, you can see, and it was kind of shot from behind.
It wasn't that long ago either.
It was maybe June, July.
Okay.
And I looked at that and I said, that can't be right. That's not the way I see myself. That cannot be right. And then I was looking at it and said, well, apparently that is. Mm. And so, yeah, I've lost about 20 pounds.
About 20 pounds, cool.
Yeah, about that, yeah.
It feels a lot better. I dropped several pounds a year and a half, 2 years ago, and it makes a world of difference.
We know our coworker Dennis Sid, who comes in here every so often, he brings donuts pretty much every other day.
Somebody brought blueberry donuts today, so that's not helping me.
A blueberry cake donut is like, if there is a heaven, they will serve blueberry cake donuts when I arrive.
They better.
And I have to avoid them now. You know what I've been doing? Right now, you can get a gigantic tub of strawberries. They're like, this is the strawberry season, and they're cheap.
Right,
they're like
$3
for like about 1,000 of them. And I've been eating strawberries and bananas and apples and all that kind of good stuff.
Okay. I haven't been eating as well as I should, but I haven't put any weight back on, which I can't figure out because I haven't been to the gym hardly at all the last 3 months. My eating habits are all over the place, and I'm still where I've been for a while, but I'm not losing any more weight like I need to.
It's having a baby at the house.
I don't know. It's probably stress.
Right after, you know, that too. But right after Daniel was born, I lost like 15 pounds, and I wasn't doing anything differently. Maybe about 10 pounds, but anyway, I wasn't doing anything differently. I wasn't exercising, and
but you are.
I started to get freaked out, and then I realized, oh, it's having a baby that I'm chasing around the house and picking up.
Like my wife when she lost a bunch of weight, and she went back to have like an assessment at Wellness Center. And the only thing that wasn't as good was her bicep muscles. And that's because the first time she'd done it earlier, we had young children in the house, of picking them up and carrying them around and carrying that carrying that baby carrier around. So and all of a sudden, I mean, you start, you know, you get those muscles going just from having to do it.
Yeah. So I guess that must be what it is. It's just stress, lack of sleep that causes you to keep the weight off. So that's one way to do it.
Yeah.
I suppose. So I need to eat.
And
better.
It's how far you run when it's time to change a diaper. I mean, don't tell mommy I'm here. I have to mow the yard, honey. I can't do it.
Sorry. Yeah, my wife makes sure I change my share of diapers when I'm home because she does plenty for herself. It's fine.
It's what you do as a parent. Exactly. It's expected.
Exactly. All right. Well, we got a good show lined up today. We've got Emma Kent to talk about the school rankings. We've got
This is breaking news. This is stuff that's not even on the website yet. Well, depends on what
time you hear it. Right.
By the time you hear it, it will be. But
yeah, this is we just
embargo
this
lifted.
This is hot off the presses. Yeah. Right? I mean, I'm this right here. That's all hot news.
News bulletin.
That's what that is. It's news you can hear. I hear helicopters flying overhead. What's that about?
That's because we might let this out too soon.
Oh, boy. Black helicopters flying over the Journal. Can be good. We've also got Zach Orsborn on the show to talk about this legal services company that's celebrating its 50th anniversary. Of course, I mentioned Derek. We'll talk about Scene. Scott here will talk about The Accountant, the latest Ben Affleck
I love
vehicle.
It when Scott's on the show. He always brings such a nice atmosphere to the whole thing.
In today's memo, Scott refers to himself in the third person the entire show. All right. I need to remind you that today's show is brought to you by South, a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. Check out South on North Gloucester. It's good eating right there, my friends. All right. Let's get to the show. Emma Kent in here with us now. Scott and I fighting over who gets to interview her.
I think we got to do good cop, bad cop.
That would be fun.
Even better, bad cop, bad cop.
Let's do that.
Like in The Other Guys, that there movie with Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell.
That sounds perfect. How do you feel about that? We don't care how you feel about it.
We don't care
it's
at
bad
all.
Cop, bad cop.
You just tell us what we need to know. Tell us right now. Okay.
What do you keep in secret?
Everything.
Boy. Ooh. Puts their chin on her knuckles.
That's called it. Yeah, knuckles there. Yeah.
My hand. This is a hand.
I was trying to think fist and knuckles. Just,
I think it's bad cop, bad cop, bad interviewee.
Something.
She's about to smack us.
Yeah. Probably. I like that thing you got around your neck, the scarf.
It's my bandana.
The bandana. Styling.
I'm dressed for like a safari today.
You kind of are.
If I had a hat, that I could just like walk around
There's
the office.
There's a hat
behind
you. It was a hard hat, but it's
not
work.
I don't know if that's quite.
Probably going to need a hat. It's supposed to rain
quite
today
a lot. With the...
By the time you're listening to this, it may be raining.
I keep getting calls. This is
you got another phone call.
This out. I keep getting calls from this number, and I haven't answered it.
Well, that's a 206.
I don't know who it is or why they're calling.
Did they leave a message?
No, there's usually no one there. Hello? Oh,
You're on the memo.
You're calling them now.
Hello?
No, they're totally trying to sell you something or want money.
Dear Mrs. So-and-so.
I think you have the wrong number.
You've got the wrong number. Hello, you're on the memo. Would you like to be on the podcast today?
Put it on speaker.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, they hung up. They didn't want to be on the podcast.
She said, I'm looking for Emma. I think you have the wrong number.
Wow. You just straight up lied to that lady.
Because I don't know anyone from that.
Won't you be sorry if that ends up being another English major?
Probably not. I'll probably dodge that bullet.
Wow. Probably somebody saying you want a bunch of money. Totally legit, too.
Totally legit, yeah.
Totally. Emma just straight up lied on the podcast to someone.
Sorry,
there,
world.
No Emma here. I don't know. Anyway, let's talk about what you actually came on here to talk about, Emma. These letter grades, they're out, the new ones for the Mississippi schools and districts, Emma. And so explain a little bit for people who maybe aren't caught up on it, what's going on here, why they're just now putting these out again.
Okay. So these are up to date. So we had a set that came out over the summer, and those had been delayed. But these are for the 2015-2016 school year.
Right.
And they're just like the letter grades that they've always gotten. You know, they just try to rank schools based on performance on test scores, graduation rates, and a whole bunch of other really specific things that I'm not going to bore everyone with. They're released today, and they are the first set of letter grades that schools have gotten since 2013 where they weren't allowed to use a waiver. So They were allowed to use a waiver and keep their highest letter grade,
right?
Since 2013, and then they don't have the option to do that with these. So these are kind of really your first true indication of how schools are doing.
Okay.
So
how are the schools doing, Emma? Depends on who you look at, I suppose.
Depends on who you look at. On who you ask.
We only had two A grade schools in Northeast Mississippi, correct?
Districts. Boonville and Oxford are the only two A rated districts in our region.
Right.
And then I think there's only 15 statewide that were rated A,
yes,
and that's
15
out of
148.
Right. So really the thing with this model and with the state test that students took last year, and this is based a lot on those test scores, is that it's harder and more challenging than in years past. So people were expecting these grades to fall.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, okay.
I was going to ask a question, but keep going.
Okay. And so so that's kind of what you see. I mean, I wouldn't say that everybody fell, but it's definitely different than in the past.
They're no longer graded on a curve.
Yeah. So it's just different. And one thing that's different about this is that in this model, the way that they calculate these letter grades, they're putting more weight on student growth. So that's comparing student test scores from year to year. They have to meet a certain growth requirement.
Can I chime in here for a second?
Yeah.
Well, just one of your sentences here is about the scores of the lowest performing 25% of students are worth twice as many points as the scores for other students.
Mm-hmm.
And is that just a matter of trying to focus on those low performers and say you got to focus on these people and get them up?
They want schools to really put in the effort with those kids who are lower performing to get them up.
So the kids who do bad do worse than the kids who do good do good.
You're just confusing me now.
I know. Kind of. But it's confusing. The whole thing is confusing.
Mainly it's like looking at the ones who are at the bottom and giving everyone every incentive to work with those kids.
Yeah. I mean, they definitely want, I would assume that's probably the reason behind putting more weight on that is to say, we want you to really work with these kids.
You mentioned some scores falling. Lee County School District got a C. Jimmy Weeks was a little surprised by that, wasn't he?
He was. Obviously, I think he was hopeful that the district would move up to a B because it's been a C for a while. And a C isn't, I mean, it's, I guess, considered average. There was a lot of C districts this year. But I think his kind of concern and his disappointment was more with some of the schools in the district. There are some schools that dropped pretty significantly from a higher grade to a lower grade. And so I think they weren't expecting that. And so, and there'll be more about that in my story in tomorrow's paper, but it's, I think that was a little surprising for them. And I think people will be a little surprised by that.
So Tupelo Public School District got a B, looking at some other school districts. I know Oklahoma was the only one in the area with an F. And of course they've been struggling for a while. So, I mean, kind of where do we go forward with these grades? I mean, is everything kind of in place now, how this is going to work going into the future with these grades and everything?
I mean, these grades will stick for now until they do it again next year. But there's been a lot of concern about the model, kind of what I was talking about earlier, that the growth is outweighing high test scores.
Yeah, I guess that's what I was asking. Is the model going to stay the way it is now?
I really don't know. I mean, I really can't say.
Yeah.
Superintendents that I've talked to would like to see some things tweaked because, for example, Lee County, I was talking to Jimmy Weeks yesterday and he said, you know, it's tough because we look like we didn't do well because we didn't have high growth.
Right.
But they had good test scores. And so it's kind of this weird thing where like you could have a lot of kids scoring well on a state test, but if they don't show enough growth, then you're going to be rated lower than maybe a district who showed a lot of growth but didn't have very high test scores. So it's kind of this weird thing they're going to have to work out and decide how much each thing matters, you know, if that makes sense.
There's a level of achievement and there's a level of progress.
Right.
And he's saying that the progress is kind of maybe overshadowing the achievement.
Yeah, and it seems to be, according to superintendents, they feel like it's a little bit out of whack.
Right.
And you know, it's easier for when you're trying to calculate growth, I mean, it's obviously, I don't know, if you've got kids who are already kind of at the top of their
class.
Yeah, or at the top of like their level on the state test, you know, and then it's not hard for them to jump up a little more and to score well enough to be counted as growth, right? But then if you've got some lower performing kids, it's going to be a lot harder for them to make the jump up to where they've grown enough that it counts.
Right.
So I think it's just, you know, it's a matter of working out the kinks, but I don't know. We'll see what happens.
You got a good breakdown over here in your story, which y'all can read in Friday's journal or go to djournal.com right now and read it. Mm-hmm. You could do that.
And we'll have, there will be three different stories in the paper tomorrow.
Wow. So I guess you've got some work to go do.
And we'll break it down by individual schools. Right?
Yeah. We'll do a little more in depth with Lee County and Tupelo and then kind of a regional overview. And then all of the Northeast Mississippi ratings, we'll have those in print as well.
Did you hear the helicopter earlier? Brad thought that it was a black helicopter because he was about to release the accountability stuff too soon.
And they were coming to get you.
It went up at 10 o'clock a.m.
He was shaking. I mean, he was...
That's fine.
They came in. They found you.
Won't be the first time I've tangled with those guys.
Bad cop Brad.
That's right. All right, Emma, that's good stuff. We appreciate you coming on.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Thank you.
I want to remind you of the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. We got Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast with myself, Gene Phelps, and Blake Morgan. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can watch the webcast live around 11 a.m. at djournal.com. And the podcast version drops later that day. You can listen to it for free in iTunes, podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. Had a new episode yesterday. We talked about Tupelo's big win over South Panola and a lot more football talk, and also talked some softball and volleyball playoffs. And also, you can listen to Double Coverage, a podcast about Ole Miss and Mississippi State sports with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry. New episodes every Thursday, and the guys provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and the Rebels. Listen to it for free on iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. So look for a new episode of that today. Also, be sure you wake up and get ready for your day with the Daily Journal's News Break, a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi, in a 5-minute video. Shows will be posted every Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. You can watch them for free at any time at djournal.com, our Facebook page, our YouTube channel, or our mobile apps for Apple and Android devices. Stay informed on the latest happenings in your community in an easily digestible format. And now we bring Zach Orsborn into the program. You're nodding your head, Zach.
That was a very good self-promotion right there.
I didn't mess up once.
Nope, not once.
About it. Well, I'm about nothing if unless, what was I trying to say? Now I can't talk. I did so great
I
there.
I threw you off.
No, it's because I don't have a script now. I'm having to talk on my own. Chris, where's the script? I can't talk without the teleprompter. I'm about nothing else if... I don't know. I can't talk today. Self-promotion. I do self-promotion.
I like me.
I like me.
I like me.
Just say it. I like me.
Brad likes Brad.
That's good.
Maybe this interview will go better than that just did. Zach.
How's it going, Brad?
How's it going with you?
Pretty good. I stole your line. Sorry.
You had a story today about this North Mississippi Rural. That's a word that we love to try to say. Mm-hmm. North Mississippi Rural Legal Services celebrating 50 years. Tell us a little bit about what they do exactly, Zach.
So this group, North Mississippi Rural Legal Services, they're celebrating their 50th anniversary, and they started in 1966. They were previously known as the Lafayette County Legal Aid, and about the time they started, 86% of non-whites lived below the poverty line in Mississippi, and they wanted to, a group of lawyers at Ole Miss came together and they formed this group to provide legal service to low-income residents and the disadvantaged.
Yeah.
And in September, they were recognized nationally when Senator Wicker submitted a resolution to the Senate to recognize them nationally for all the work they've done.
Okay. Yeah, and again, it started this organization started up right in the middle of the Civil Rights Movement. And, you know, trying to help disadvantaged black people mainly who were, wasn't easy maybe for them to get a job in this area at that time. And so they've grown since then. And they started getting federal funding within, 10 years?
Yeah, 10 years after they started. They got federal funding from the National League Services Corporation.
Okay.
And today they have 13 staff attorneys at North Mississippi across 39 counties. And in 2015, they helped 19,160 residents with adoption, protective orders, fraud prevention. That's harder than rural.
You can't talk either.
Fraud prevention, wills, power of attorney cases, foreclosure prevention, landlord problems, tax assistance, and bankruptcy.
So they do a lot these days. I mean, obviously, yep. Over 50 years, your focus has to shift a little bit because we have come a long way. Still have a long way to go, but they've expanded their focus, I guess, haven't they?
Yeah. And Ben T. Cole Jr., he's the executive director. He said, in the early years, and especially after the passage of the Civil Rights Act, we opened doors for people to get jobs at banks where African Americans traditionally did not have the opportunity to work.
Yeah.
And right now, they've been celebrating all month, but on October 27th, they're having a awards ceremony and a gala at the Bancorp South Arena Conference Center.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also a fundraiser because they're starting the next era of their group. And they want to reopen. They had a Tupelo office, but it closed in 2011 when they lost a little bit of funding.
Yeah, they're trying to reopen that.
Yeah. He said that would be their first priority.
Okay.
Whenever they start their next era.
Right. And this event on the 27th, going to have Ronnie Musgrove there, the former governor, Mike Espy, Carlos Moore. People know that name from the news recently, and some other people. And you can get tickets. You can contact their offices, their Office of Development at 234-8731, or go online, nmrls.com. All right, Zach. Good stuff, man.
Thanks.
Thank you. Hey, be sure to watch the Daily Journal's Capitol View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. Watch live on Monday afternoons at 2 o'clock. Or catch the replay later in the day. The 2016 legislative session is now over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol. Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. Robots took center stage at Itawamba Community College's Belden campus on Wednesday. The annual VEX Robotics Competition brought students and their robots from all over North Mississippi to compete. In fact, there were 26 teams, most ever at the event. Students who designed, built, and programmed their robots entered a series of competitions, although winning wasn't the ultimate object here. Working on these robots will give students a leg up as they work to find careers later in life. And as they're creating their robots, students must design, build, program, identify problems and solutions, and often rebuild in order to get it right. There are 4 qualifying competitions for North Mississippi robotics teams throughout the school year, leading up to the state competition in February.
Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump has repeatedly said if he loses the November 8th election against Hillary Clinton, it could be because of voter fraud or a rigged election. Mississippi Secretary of State Delbert Hoseman said that won't happen in the Magnolia State, noting that election workers are extremely vigilant. He said that there is extensive training for the 410 election commissioners across the state and for the circuit clerks who directly oversee the elections in Mississippi's 82 counties. Hoseman said he will have staff on the road on election day to monitor the polls for any potential problems. Lee County Circuit Clerk Camille Roberts said she doesn't believe fraud is a big issue, and other Northeast Mississippi Circuit Clerks echoed that sentiment. This is the first presidential election in which Mississippians will be required to present a government-issued photo identification in order to vote. Hoseman believes voter ID cuts down on the potential for fraud.
The weather is expected to be good for the 5th annual Saltillo Scarecrow Festival this weekend. Saturday's forecast calls for sunny skies with a high of 70 degrees. The festival will be held in downtown Saltillo from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. It'll feature live music and more than 20 arts and crafts vendors on Mobile Street. The 2-block Boo Parade for kids and pets will begin at 10:15 a.m. There also are 2 different scarecrow contests. Businesses, civic groups, and individual citizens are competing in a judged contest. The classrooms at Saltillo Elementary and Primary Schools created their own scarecrows, which will be on display at the festival. The festival also will include a petting zoo, pony rides, trunk or treat, and several fall/Halloween-themed activities for kids.
Tupelo leaders are considering new options for long-term storage of records and certain equipment. Since a 2014 tornado destroyed a former fire station that had been converted into a storage facility, the city of Tupelo has been using a warehouse at the corner of Green and Crossover Streets. At a work session on Monday, Chief Operations Officer Don Lewis discussed a plan to sell that warehouse, which he called the Lanier Building. Lewis and City Attorney Ben Logan recommended that such sale be conducted by public auction. Lewis said proceeds from the sale would be used to help renovate alternative storage sites the city may use. Lewis said the property would be better used in private hands. He said he would like to see it become productive and have it back on the tax rolls.
A 39-year-old man is dead after an industrial accident Wednesday morning in Prentice County. Michael Jason Mize was killed at North American Pipe in Boonville. Boonville police responded to the accident around 8:30 a.m. and found Mize, who was pronounced dead on the scene. Prentice County Coroner Greg Sparks said he will request an autopsy. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration has been notified and is sending a team to investigate, according to Boonville Police Chief Michael Ramey. Officials have not revealed the nature of the accident. North American Pipe, which is located at 401 Industrial Park Road, manufactures sewer and water pipe. Another reminder that today's show is sponsored by South. It's a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere up there on North Gloucester. A lot of things going on at South. You got the chef, Nick Rice. He's been on board for about a year and a half now, and he's got really good lunch and dinner menu items, and they've got a weekend brunch on Saturdays and Sundays. South is also home to Tupelo's only Bellini Mimosa Bar every Saturday. And check out the happy hour specials each weeknight. And hey, every Wednesday, 7 o'clock, trivia begins, and the winner gets a $50 gift card. All right, Scott, it's Thursday, so that means...
It's Tyler Myth Podcast Great Again.
Thought you'd been doing that the whole time.
I have been, so I'll just continue.
Okay, we'll continue doing it. Your weekly movie review this week, it's The Accountant.
The Accountant.
Starring Ben Affleck.
Ben
Batman
Affleck.
Himself. Batman, anyway.
I tell you what, the movie has been marketed as a thriller, and it is a thriller. I mean, there's
killing
and stuff going on, action stuff going on. There's some tense moments, all that kind of good stuff. But it's funny. It's
really?
A black comedy.
Hmm.
The accountant, the guy that Ben Affleck plays, is Christian Wolf, and he has autism. So he doesn't really connect well with people. But rather than getting treatment when he was a kid, his dad had him to go through extreme martial arts classes and just get the crud beat out of him.
Seems like a viable treatment.
Well, you know what? He turned out to be a high-functioning person with autism who's also a brutal killer.
And is really good at math.
Excellent at math, yeah. And if it helps, he's a brutal killer who kills people who kill other people.
Yeah.
So most of the bad guys deserve it. They have it coming.
Is it like Boondock Saints?
I don't know. I haven't seen that.
Don't know Boondock Saints.
I haven't seen that one. I've been meaning to see that one for a long time.
It's really good.
That's got one of my brother's favorite Norman Reedus in it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But there's a moment here.
Vigilante, in other words?
No, not exactly that. There's a moment here. He's an accountant who does illegal activities. I mean, he goes to say to a drug lord, and when somebody's been stealing money from the drug lord, he tracks down where that's been stolen. He fixes that problem. And he also has a little. But there's a scene where a bunch of stuff happens that is that's fun to watch, but deadly. And then he does a wave, just a wave, and it is hilarious. It is so funny when it happens. And so there's this little bit of there's this nice tone to this thing. I'll never give this movie an A. I don't know why, but it's one of those B movies, in the grand tradition of B movies. You know, to where I think I could watch this again and again.
Kind of like the Bourne movies.
Yeah.
They're probably all solid Bs, but I can watch those all day.
Exactly. I give this one a B+. That's where I'm coming down on it at Cinemark. But I want to say one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Affleck dissolves into this role.
Yeah.
Which he did not do in that Batman versus Superman movie.
Yeah.
I'm watching that, and the whole time that's Ben Affleck trying to be Batman, and he had a mask on.
Yeah.
And here you're looking, I mean, he's an actor. Here you're looking at his face the whole time, and he becomes this character.
Yeah.
And it gets better as it goes along. There's some twists and turns. J.K. Simmons is in here. He adds a nice role. I mean,
yeah. Anna Kendrick.
Anna Kendrick, no doubt about it. Jean Smart, if you're a Designing Women fan, is in here.
Jean Smart. Who's on Design? Who'd be playing Designing
Women? Charlene,
Woman?
I think. Is that right?
Jean Smart played who?
Charlene on Designing Women.
I've seen that show, but I used to watch it all the time, in fact, but it's been years.
You may have lost touch with your feminine side.
I just remember Dixie Carter and Delta Burke. Was she the other one?
She was one of the other ones. The other
How
one was
many
Annie,
were there?
Annie Potts
there four
and
of
Jean
them?
Smart.
There were four of them.
Yeah.
Okay, I can't remember.
And then one other I want to mention, Jeffrey Tambor and John Lithgow show up.
So I saw John Lithgow and there. I was like, man, that's good.
So those guys kind of, all those people kind of add to the level of the even if they have a bit, it's not an ensemble piece. It's really on him, the accountant.
Yeah.
But you have quality all around him, and that shows.
So you said it's a kind of a comedy. Does Ben Affleck's character have a bunch of great catchphrases, like when he's about to beat somebody up, X divided by Y equals pain, or something like that?
No, actually,
because he should if he doesn't.
Actually, in this case, what's funny about it is it's all character driven. You know, I don't think they're making fun of somebody with autism.
Right.
They're just making a guy with autism able to like just kick butt. But still, I mean, he has difficulty connecting with people. And so when you're killing somebody, you don't necessarily have to connect, but there's some funny moments that come up from this action stuff to where,
murder is hilarious if you do it right.
Hey,
if it's Mel Brooks, right?
Probably. I don't know. I just made that up.
No, that sounds like your Mel Brooks quote that you like to use all the time.
Oh, there's that quote that, if I get a paper cut, that's tragedy. If you walk into a manhole and die, that's comedy. So yeah.
So if murder happens to you?
If it happens to me, it's tragedy. If it happens to someone else in a humorous manner, it's comedy. In the movies, I mean, not real murder.
Right.
That's bad, but...
Well, it's,
anyway, where were we, Scott?
I have no idea. I recommend it. It is B+, not an A, but well worth your time if you enjoy violent films.
Well,
it is violent, but I think it also, over time... It's a well-put-together story.
Right.
It gets better as it goes along.
Okay. Good deal. I have to go check it out then.
And there are times when it could go one way, and you think it's going to go this way, or it's going to go that way, and so you kind of gets into your head a little bit.
Okay. All right. Well, good stuff. You can read Scott's review in the Thursday scene section or at djournal.com. Good stuff, Scott.
Well, thank you.
All right. Well, Derek, we've come to the close of another podcast week. It's Thursday.
Thanks for having me. Long time listener, first time guest.
Yeah, welcome back.
I've never been on the show before, so this is nice.
It's all right. So just
I've actually never been on the show before. If not
hosting.
I've never got to sit in here and not host before. This is fun.
Yeah, we had you on the phone one time.
That's true. But I've never been in here. I'm not even in my regular seat. It's very off putting.
Yeah.
Hey, Scene came out today. It is Thursday. There's a lot to do this weekend in Tupelo starting today. Tony Braxton will be in concert at the Bancorp South Arena, and less than 24 hours later, Chris Stapleton, that's a hard word to say, will be in concert also at the Bancorp South Arena, so they have to totally change over the venue in less than 24 hours.
Is that something they do all the time?
They do. Few people realize how hard they work and how often they do a switchover like that, but Chris Stapleton sold out at more than 9,000 people, so wow. to switch over to a full show like that is from Tony Braxton night. It's going to be a huge undertaking. Yeah, I think you got to go through every row and clean up all the trash and take down the stage and move it and do all this, you know, for a totally different setup.
Because the setup will be different.
Oh, yeah. Each show is different, you know. I'm sure Stapleton's crew will be here in the morning coming in, so that'll be...
Gee.
A big thing. If concerts aren't your thing, it is approaching Halloween. The Tupelo Halloween short film showcase is going to be at the Link Center on Friday night. $5 to get into that. That's at 7:30 p.m. And you see a lot of local filmmakers showing their Halloween films. So that one's pretty cool. Main story this week was on Mac McAnally. I don't think he's somebody who needs any introduction around here locally, obviously. Local boy done good, I think is what you say there. But
not bad.
If you don't know him, probably most well known as a member of Jimmy Buffett's Coral Reefer Band. Members of the Coral Reefer Band will be joining McAnally with the North Mississippi Orchestra. This is a once in a lifetime show at the Orchard on November 10th. Tickets are on sale now, and it's all for a good cause. This charity. Extra Table, which was started in Hattiesburg by Chef Robert St. John to basically get food in food pantries. So that 100% of the proceeds from the show are going towards that 501c3. So it's a really cool deal. Tickets have just gone on sale, so we wanted to get the word out there. Let people know that Mac's going to be in concert. It's always a big deal when he comes back to do a show here. But he's taken all his original music and redone it for a full symphony to be played backing him. So that's really cool. So
how often would you say he's performed back in Tupelo?
Back, I don't know. He tries to get back once a year.
Yeah.
There, for a while there, he was doing shows at the Lyric, like every December.
Mm-hmm.
So
you get tickets for this through the Orchard?
You can get tickets for this through nmsymphony.com. Or you can call them at 842-8433. The tickets are available online, but if you call there, I'm sure they can help you maneuver. But if you go to nmsymphony.com, it's the first thing that pops up on the page, and right underneath it, it says buy tickets. It'll take you to Eventbrite.
How much are they?
They range from $35 to $100. And again, all proceeds go to benefit Extra Table. So, hey, it's a tax write-off. There you go. If more ghostly things are your or to your liking... Tomorrow in Oxford, the Spirits of Oxford event. This is kind of cool. This goes to benefit the Cedar Oaks home. You familiar with the Cedar Oaks home? And it's got a long history. It was cut in half and moved. No, it does not have anything to do with the Cedar Bucket. This program goes to benefit the Cedar Oaks home. It takes place in St. Peter's, is that the right? Yeah, St. Peter's Cemetery.
Oh, yeah, the cemetery.
St. Peter's Cemetery.
Faulkner actually is buried, we were talking about last week.
And you go and pretty much you get a tour of the cemetery. Also, people are portraying people that are buried in the cemetery, doing monologues and stuff. So that's pretty neat. Tickets are only $15 for that, and you get them through the Powerhouse in Oxford or call 236-6429. That's kind of a, they do that every other year to benefit the home, so... What you know, go out and spend Friday night in a cemetery.
Yeah, Halloween's coming up
in a pretty cool cemetery. So there you go. Stuff going on in Northeast Mississippi this weekend.
Speaking of Halloween and cemeteries, you talked about it a little bit last week. So while we got you on today, talk about your the next in your series coming out tomorrow in your Halloween Haunted Places series.
That's a secret I can't reveal. No, it's Witch Dance, part of the Natchez Trace, which is... gained fame over the years. It's mile marker 234, I believe, and there's large patches of area where grass doesn't grow there. And it's believed to be because witches used to gather there and dance, and whenever their feet touched the ground, the grass died, no longer to grow again. So went out there with photographer Adam Robinson. I guess he's been my go-to guy. He's been my Jimmy Olsen on this one all week, on all 4 weeks in October. So we went out and checked out the area. Didn't have any little kids running around.
Yeah, I was
going
to ask you.
We did pull up to the sign, and "Sympathy for the Devil" started playing on my iPod.
Okay, that's when I saw your post.
That actually did happen. That was pretty good. So we got out of the car quickly after that. We turned that off. We got back in the car leaving and got back on the trace, and "Don't Fear the Reaper" came on. And he was like, "I'm glad it was Sympathy for the Devil and Don't Fear the Reaper" between the two. But yeah, that'll be coming out tomorrow.
Good. So you can check that out in Friday's Daily Journal or at djournal.com. Yep. Thanks for joining us, Derek.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Anytime. Come back sometime.
I'll try to.
All right.
Well, good show, Scott. Thanks for pitching in there.
Well, let's review. We have Black Helicopters.
We had Black Helicopters.
We have Bad Cop. And then Emma still somehow getting the best of us.
Yeah, Emma does that.
And we had Chris Kiefer getting kind of uppity and taking over that interview with Brad.
With Derek.
Derek.
Nobody interviews me. I do the interviewing. I ask the questions around here, Scott.
Well, because you don't do any work.
It's work, trust me. Trying to interview so many people.
He thinks he's the face and the voice of the Daily Journal.
I didn't say that.
The
one of y'all said it.
The face and the voice of the Daily Journal.
One of y'all said it. I just simply didn't disagree.
Brad the face lock. Face man.
Brad the beard? Nah.
The mustache.
Oh. Cheesy.
The mustache. The voice.
The voice.
Mr. Brad, if you're nasty. Brad, the nasty woman.
What?
Lock.
What happened? Where did this just go to?
Nasty woman was nasty woman was a debate reference last night.
I didn't watch the debate.
You missed the nasty woman part.
I made a point not to. And I logged onto Twitter last night about 9-something, and everybody's tweeting about the debate, so I logged off for Twitter.
All you have to do is watch Saturday Night Live, and they'll get you all caught up.
Exactly. I get all caught up with Alec Baldwin and Kate McKinnon.
There you go. That's all you need, really.
Exactly.
The SNL version.
Although, you know, on that, I was talking to Deanna. We were watching it last night, but she fell asleep and missed a good portion of it. So
I
was trying
to see why.
Trying to fill her in. And I told her, you could kind of give me your thoughts on this, but that Saturday Night Live has had pretty good spoofs of the first two debates. I don't think there was as much satire material from this debate. I thought there was a moment or two, but I thought compared to the other two, this one was a little bit more serious, substantial, not as many moments to be made fun of. I don't, Saturday Night Live is going to have a harder time with this one, I think.
I don't know, because he did say he wasn't going to say whether or not he was going to accept the results of the election and keep people in suspense. So what if he just shows up in prepper gear? You know, if he starts throughout, he gets his MREs, he has his water filters, he'll be ready to go.
But like actually saying the lines, like the second one was obviously particularly spot on with him following her around and some of the questions and.
What about I thought I saw something about puppets.
Yeah, they both accused each other of being Putin's puppet.
Yeah.
Well, and maybe we could just do the whole skit, have somebody have strings attached to them and walk in.
Wouldn't that be a great name for a rock and roll band? Ladies and gentlemen, it's Putin's puppets.
And Putin could be the guest host, and so they just show the strings and they zoom back to him and he says live from New York, it's Saturday night.
And it's actually him and not just an actor.
Yeah.
It'd be great if it was actually Putin.
Actual Putin.
Yeah.
You know, I think Lauren Michaels need to hang out in Davos.
Oh, boy. Politics.
Hey.
Boy, I've had some people lately, too, just coming up and talk. People I know, but coming up to me and starting to try to talk to me about the election. I'm just like, go away. I like you, but don't stop. Just stop. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to share my opinion.
Right.
And, you know, it's a decent chance to don't share your opinion. But, you know. Yeah. I'd like to say, can't wait till this is over. But then once it's over, then you have to listen to all the on one side, all the people gloating about winning as if their candidate is actually any good, and the other side, people whining.
Right.
So, because I personally think they both are terrible, but that's just me, and that's all you're going to get out of me.
You know,
on this
I think
election.
Both of them may go about eradicating their political enemies, so it may be kind of fun theater. You don't want to. You know, there could be like a lot of cool newspaper stories of people going missing here and there. You know, people.
I will say this: for
helicopters everywhere.
Yes, exactly. There will be many. Anyway, for all their differences though between Hillary and Donald, they do have this in common: they're both old white rich people that are out of touch.
Well, I mean, if you want to have a political discussion, we can have one.
I'm not talking about politics. I'm just talking about as people. I can't identify with either one. But then again, I can't identify with most politicians, so maybe that's just me. I have a general dislike of most politicians. I don't know how we got into this discussion.
I don't know. We're just trying to tick off all our politician listeners. Wait a minute, I'm a politician. Wait a minute. He's talking about me.
Yeah, sorry.
I love this show.
I used to
get it south, and now I'm not going to.
You know, it's amazing how politicians who listen to the memo really turn out better than all other politicians.
They really do.
They're
so much better informed.
Yeah, they're so much better informed.
How about public
servants?
Not politicians so much, but just public servants. Yeah.
They're just people.
Pretty much anyone in general who listens to this podcast, they're
does
just
better
they're
all range of
they're winners in life.
There you go.
Unlike me.
The face of the winners of life.
Yeah. Okay, that's enough politics talk. I'm starting to feel nauseous now. That's it for the show.
Well, I just think that people should know that all this last bit, we scripted all of this.
No.
Chris Kiefer stayed up all last night to write all this. We've been reading from scripts
the
whole time.
After the debate.
I don't believe anything I just said.
Yeah, it's all Chris Kiefer. It all came from the sick, twisted mind of Chris Kiefer. He wrote it all down, and
we're
just reading
man.
It.
He's the puppet man. We're puppets for Chris Kiefer.
That's right.
That's right.
He's not wearing a shirt right now.
Whoa. Oh, I see. That's a Putin reference. Okay, I got you.
That's right.
All right.
That's on the script anyway.
Well, sure. So it says here. Also, it says here you can find us online at memo.djournal.com, or you can listen to us in iTunes, or if you don't have an iPhone, you can listen to us in one of your podcast apps. And also, you can find us on Twitter at DJournalMemo. I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke. Scott's on there at M. Scott Morris. Chris is at Chris Kiefer. Going to remind you again that today's show is sponsored by South. It's a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. Try their cheap date night every Tuesday when the restaurant offers two meals for the price of one. That includes salad, sides, dessert, and beer or wine, all for just $25 at South on North Gloucester. And we're out till Monday. We'll be back then. Hope everybody has a fun and safe weekend. Scott, thank you again.
Yeah, thank you.
And we'll see you next time.